Welcome back to series 5 of the podcast. This is a short collection of interviews that I had with people during the first lockdown, with a focus and emphasis on attention, intention and distraction. Hope you enjoy them.
Amy, Tim, thank you very much indeed for coming on the show again. It's an absolute pleasure to be spending a bit more time with you both, so thank you very much.
Nice to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Fantastic. We're going to have some fun. So you can decide who wants to answer first, but I'm just interested, what's happening in terms of your balance right now? Because you know balance is important and interesting to me. So what's happening right now in terms of your balance?
Do you want to go first?
You go first.
I'm in a quite a unique position where my day-to-day has not changed at all. So with the lockdown, so I run a video subscription platform. So for the last 10 years, we've been making videos and online and only online digital learning solutions. So I don't do any face-to-face stuff anyway. So the slight difference is with my team. So we, although towards the beginning of this year, we were getting to the point where we were actually only going into our office on a Monday, and then we were all working from home. So some of our team, so our tech guys are based in Bulgaria. Some of our team are not even in the same country that we're in. One of our investors is in Australia. So we're all kind of used to working remotely anyway. What we do is we offer online solutions, and we're not really in a different situation. I know a lot of our friends are, and a lot of, you know, family. But in terms of the balance, you know, I'm in my home office. This is where I spend most of my time anyway. We're not overly busy. We've got busier. There's more demand for our product, but I'm not saying that we're like, oh my God, I need to expand. It's a slow, manageable, busy. But my balance is pretty okay right now. That said, my husband, the company that he works for, his colleagues have been furloughed, and he's the only one that hasn't been. So he's, you know, working a very, very long hours at the moment. So I do feel like I'm isolating alone, even though I'm not alone. He's in the house, but I do feel very much alone with our dogs, because, you know, I'm just looking at the hours that he's putting in. So that's me, really. Yeah. What about you, Tim?
Crikey. I'm probably the complete opposite end of the scale, really. I guess to quote the well-known Mancunian song, I'm just roll with it. I've got no idea what balance is anymore with this. And I guess I want to stress what I mean by that is I don't mean work-life balance, because, yes, being at home much more is a greater family experience. Of course it is. And we've been very lucky with the weather and all that sort of stuff. So that balance has been fine. I think the balance I'm rolling with it every day and almost saying, let's just see what happens. And then what I'm learning from that is I'm changing or evolving my habits or routine. So I guess the big thing for me from a balance point of view is, When the world is open and I'm at full tilt, the balance for me is I work my absolute backside off, because the balance comes from home time and also from my work, because I am a huge extrovert. I love my job. So being able to facilitate face-to-face, being able to do coaching face-to-face, being able to do inspirational talks is what I live for, really, because it gives me that huge dopamine hit. That's when I'm at my best. That's when I really know that the hard work is worth it, whether that's traveling, you know, staying away, all that kind of stuff. And obviously that's now gone, so the balance now is saying, okay, I'll do online sessions. I completely disagree, and I guess I mean this from what I would do, I guess, really, Amy. There's a clear distinction, isn't there, between Career Cake and the kind of facilitation I would do. I'm doing online because I can't do face to face. And that's good. It keeps me engaged. I'm very lucky with the organisations I work for. I've made that interactive. We're having fun with it. So I'm throwing myself into that and saying, okay, this is what we're doing for now. I think at first, a lot of people I was getting quite a few people contacting me, like, always with positive intention. Can we have a Zoom call? Can we have a chat? Can we have a virtual coffee? And I did a few of those, and I've met some good people out of it. But then after a while, I was thinking, this isn't helping me. I'm losing an hour or two, and I don't really know why I've done that. So the balance comes from dipping my toe a little bit and then saying, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to do something differently. And I guess sticking to the things that I know work. So I think the balance for me is more accepting I've got to replace the things that I normally do that I love. So I can't go swimming at 6 o'clock in the morning anymore. So I'll go for a walk. I'd like to say a run. It's not. It's a jog at best. However, it's getting out of bed. It's doing something. And then the online replaces normally being face-to-face. So, yeah, I think it's...
Yeah, it's interesting listening to both of you, really, having, you know, interviewed you in the past and got your views on balance. We find ourselves in a different time. I'm going to avoid saying unprecedented because I think that's probably been used to death. But as human beings, we are having to adapt and do some things differently and consider other things in, you know, in other ways. Be interested to get your thoughts on where some of your other attention is going, or indeed what you're allowing to distract you right now. Mm-hmm. I think typically we can see distractions as a negative, but given the fact that for a lot of us, you know, home is now work and home, there's probably things that you are allowing yourself to be distracted by, but also mindful of where your attention's going. So be keen to get some of your thoughts on both or either of those topics.
So when this first started, even though it hasn't changed our day-to-day so much, there are certain things like what Tim said about, you know, going out for a swim at 6 o'clock. Didn't do that, but certainly would spend a lot of time having coffees, meeting with people. Even though my work wasn't conducted offline, all my work is conducted online, I was still having that interaction. And when this first happened, I was almost getting to a point where my work-life balance, I felt almost like I wanted the world to pause for a bit. I was feeling a little bit, we've got a lot of stuff going on internally with Career Cake and lots of decisions are being made, things are moving really, really fast, and, you know, my team are amazing, but I was really kind of, gosh, I just want a day where I can think, I get to breathe, I get to do, you know, I get to learn how to edit videos, because we have our own video editing team, and I was like, Career Cake's 10 years old, surely I should learn how to edit videos. There's so many online courses that I want to do myself. And then I realized the actual impact that what was actually having, the actual severity of what was going on, that we are actually all grieving our normal life, and we are all having days, one day where, yeah, hey, I'm totally up for making a banana loaf, and then other days when, do you know what, all I'm going to do is watch Madam CJ Walker on Netflix for 6 hours, and that is going to be a successful day for me. Or I'm just going to get up, reach out to one person, because I'm doing that a lot. I'm wanting to make sure that I impact one or two people a day in a positive way, because I can give value, then I can make myself feel valued. This is being forced to work from home. Family is stressed. You know, you're hearing horror stories. You're hearing about friends that are losing their jobs. Friends of mine, very close friends of mine, whose businesses are literally no more. And navigating your day to day when you've got all of this grief and uncertainty around you, the only way you can do that is to be kind to yourself. And some days I get up and I don't really want to be that productive, and I just do the bare minimum. And other days I'm flying, and it's allowing ourselves to just, like Tim said, roll with it at the moment. I haven't learned how to edit videos, and I haven't done any online courses, just saying. But there's always tomorrow. So, I mean, there's always tomorrow.
You see, the word that's missing there, Amy, is yes.
Yes, there is. Yeah. I knew there was a reason why we were friends.
Listen to you talk, I've just nailed the branding. Bateman's banana loaf from Barry Island.
You're in the wrong gig, mate. You should be in marketing for sure.
Okay. Right. That's pretty much the best branding I've ever come up with.
That's going to get a special mention in the intro.
I think for me on that, Jeff, if anything, this time has made me hone and improve my skills to not get distracted. I guess not get distracted by the stuff that I don't want to be distracted to. So I'm quite proud that I haven't logged into Facebook once since this virus started. I don't want that. I've avoided house party because the last thing I needed was another form of social media or TikTok, which seems to be what everyone's going to. The two key things when I was thinking about distractions is getting me, allowing myself to be distracted by the things that I've maybe never done before, and also that I know I needed to do, but was perhaps putting off. So interestingly, video editing is the same for me. So I've read an entire user guide for Apple iMovie, which the public will see the fruits of my labour in the coming weeks. I've completely redesigned my website. I've completed the branding that I was doing with my graphic designer, and that's kind of ready to roll. So I'm making sure that that distracts me. So when I am a bit low or a bit quiet, you know, or just in that time, then a bit like you, I'm kind of saying, it doesn't matter if I don't do that today. I'm just going to read this user guide. I'm going to read, you know, these tips about LinkedIn or marketing or whatever it might be. And then I guess the other bit is making sure my Periscope is firmly up, and I guess making a mental note of the kind of things that people are sharing me. So for example, almost looking into the dark corners, because rightly, what we're seeing a lot of is positive stories and how organisations are keeping people together, how organisations have instantly turned to remote working. For me, there's a bit of going through the pages and seeing what else is there. You know, people are being made redundant by text. I spoke to somebody today who one of their clients, I'm clearly not going to tell you the hotel chain, one of their clients is a major global hotel chain. A number of their staff are still going into the hotels. Clearly there's no guests. However, there's a lot of work doing, rearranging weddings, conferences, keeping the place clean, etc. They've actually been furloughed and are still going in 5 days a week from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And it's just listening to things like that. You know, I mean, this is an umpteen different example. The reason I'm being distracted by that is because for me, when we go into recovery, we're going to go on potentially an even bigger emotional roller coaster. And for me, I guess using that to inform what I do in terms of helping people even more to develop emotional intelligence, because leaders are going to need support even more. Organizations are going to need a collective emotional intelligence even more, because that person in that hotel chain, when they return to work to normal and they get no recognition, they get no thanks, they're probably told not to tell anybody. That will create a huge issue for their line manager and themselves. And then there's all these different dynamics going on that are going to change relationships, some for the better, unfortunately, some for the worse.
Yeah, I think, you know, you both shared some really interesting points there in terms of how you're, you know, looking at this time, either from a what's getting your attention or where you put your attention and what you're allowing to distract yourselves. How do you make sure, and you might not, but how do you make sure that at some point during this space that we're in, it might be on a daily or a weekly basis, that you have something that kind of is intentional or is getting you to kind of focus and look at, you know, what happens when we come out of this?
For us, it was, we 3 weeks ago we instantly my marketing manager Lucy came up with the idea that we put a chat box application on our website and just said, what are you struggling with at the moment? We wanted to really get a sense of what people were feeling and what people were struggling with. And that is such a reality check. Like, it's, you know, there's nothing in this world I love more than our community. Like, it's the reason I get out of bed. It's the reason why we all do what we do. We love what we do. And to hear some of the things that they're telling us is, there's no better way. Like, I don't need to be forced to get focused. Like, just listening. You know, there's some of them that have yet to have any face, they haven't had any FaceTime stuff like this. So they have only had communication by email. There are some people that were brand new into leadership roles, manager roles, and they have no idea how to communicate with the team because nobody's told them how. People with imposter syndrome, that, you know, when their boss is emailing them back with one sentence, is thinking, are they mad at me? Like, they already have imposter syndrome, and now they're at home and they don't having that engagement with people. Are, you know, that imposter syndrome is kind of manifesting and growing, and they're completely crippled. That has been our focus every single day. And in fact, Tim's making some content for us on Friday, because he's best placed to answer some of the questions that are coming through. And I like Tim said, I think once this is over, I think there's going to be a lot of really unhappy people. And obviously we don't necessarily hear the good stuff, we only hear the bad stuff, but people will remember how they're being treated right now, and they won't forget it. So we're just hoping that we can power and support people as best we can. And that's not just the managers, that's not sort of the people that think that they've got poor managers, that's actually supporting the managers. And when I took over my first management role at 26, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I can't even believe they gave me the job. Like, I had no idea. I failed. I was just the worst manager ever. I look back on some of the conversations and think, I had no clue. If this had happened to me then, gosh, I dread to think what they would have thought of me and how unsupported they would have been. So so I think people are going to need people like, you know, you guys and certainly more than ever. Is that the what you asked me? I don't even know if that's what you asked me. Sorry. Chat box.
The answer is the response you gave, so it's perfect.
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
I love it, Amy.
I certainly can't say I've created a chat box. However, it is about where I'm trying to focus is give people what they want. So with my clients, you know, I knew quite quickly that they don't want me to try and sell them stuff.
Yeah.
They don't want me to suddenly go, hey, look at me, I can do everything online, spend lots of money. You know, they just want to know that I'm there. Yeah. So I think it was about recognising that and just kind of saying, you know, hello, I think I sent an email out to my subscribers just saying, you know, I guarantee this email will make you smile. And I just put different information in and said, look, if you need me, I'm here. Yes, of course, with my one-to-one coaching clients, there was a direct check-in with them to say, what would you like to do? These are the options. And I think even taking that into sort of friends and family, really. So I know that some of my mates will want to speak to me 2 or 3 times a week, even if it's just to have the same conversation that I had 2 days ago. Others just want to interact on a WhatsApp group, and others don't want to ever do another video call with me ever again in their life. And that's all right. It's their choice, because at some point we'll be able to go down the phone. What do you need from us? And let them kind of decide exactly what it is they need. So I think that's one of the key things to me. And I think also being intention for yourself. Amy, you said, actually, I'm going to quote you twice now, Amy Ben. You said earlier that bit of be kind to yourself. I think that's really important. So in the world of work where I am in terms of freelance, running my own business, in times like this, and I spoke to other people who are a bit more long in the tooth than me, and they refer back to recessions and things like that, you do quickly see the ones that are only in touch with you when they want or need something from you. And look, that's their choice. I'm not here to criticise them. I'm definitely not, you know, none of that. It's their choice. They have a business to focus on. However, that's come very, very sharply focused for me. So very much trying to be intentional in terms of who I spend my time with. And beyond, get better at making decisions in terms of who I work with, who I commit that time to, who I give my diary to, that kind of thing. And then the other point that I guess for me being intentional is exactly that, is focusing on myself. So it's saying, okay, what can I do with this time to make interviews better? What can I do with this time to be able to create that positive influence that helps me and helps me to focus on using this time for what I want from the future? Because Amy, you and I called up a few weeks ago and you said something to me that really resonated with me, where you said, if it's not part of the plan, don't do it.
Yeah, if it wasn't part of the plan before lockdown, if that was never your intention to take your business in that direction before lockdown, there's no reason why you have to do that now. Don't feel forced to do that now, because lockdown will end. That's it.
Well, and when I'm thinking about doing something else, I think, would I have done that prior to lockdown? How aligned is that to what I want Enthuse to be in the future? Because I feel I'm best placed to suggest how Enthuse will best serve my clients. And you know, people that I work with. So I think being very intentional in terms of how I now spend that time. And I guess I had a conversation with my wife about this probably early in lockdown, and there's a big thing for me where I said, I can't get to the end of lockdown and look back and go, oh, why didn't I do that? Or I have time to do that. So it's not necessarily no regrets. It's just making sure that I don't come out the end of it and go, oh, yeah, I really wish I'd done that in that week in May when I didn't have any work. I think the big intention for me now is if you do nothing, you get nothing.
And Jeff, can I just say on that point that just to sort of expand on that, if it wasn't part of the plan before COVID. Oh my God, hi, cutie. Hello, cutie.
Cat has just decided to make a guest appearance.
Amy's not talking to me at this stage, it's the cat.
Yeah.
She's now drinking me water.
So I was thinking if it's not the plan before COVID, then before lockdown, then it doesn't necessarily need to be the plan now. And I don't recommend people get distracted and take their businesses to places that just are completely not aligned with how they want to deliver their product or service. However, that's not to say that innovation shouldn't be embraced. I mean, the best times when innovate has always come out of just the darkest awful experiences. We know that. So you can absolutely pivot your business and take things slightly, but I think it's so dangerous, and I'm seeing it so many times at the moment, that people aren't just pivoting to be innovative and thinking, right, let's look at what can we do better than we were doing before because of this. They're totally changing their business models and they're not aligned with their strengths. They're just doing it to suit what they think the market needs. And I think that's a very dangerous place to be at the moment for freelancers or business owners.
I agree. And I've seen plenty of it in the short period of time that we've been in this space where people haven't got that clarity about what it is that they stand for and what they're about. And so therefore are being influenced to go down different routes which just don't fit, and you know, if I can see it, I'm sure other people can see it. I've got one more thing I want to kind of explore with you, really, and that's we're unlikely to get this time again. And I pick up on Tim's point that, you know, what you've said to your wife, Tim, that, you know, if you get to the end of this and you haven't done whatever it is, then it's not necessarily regret, but you'll be, you know, disappointed or unhappy with yourself. Question I'm posing to each of my guests really is, if you could spend 1% of your day, so that's 14.4 minutes of your day, doing something during this period of time, what would that be? And where might that lead at the end of this, whether that's 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, however much down the line? If you could spend 1% of your day, 14.4 minutes doing something, what would it be?
Tim, can you go first this time?
Yeah. Well, seeing as there's a cat literally.
I know! She's camera. So cute!
Maybe I should say spend more time with Moggy. She's attacking me now with a tail. Is it okay if I say I'll use that time to do more of something? Because I think when you were talking, Jeff, what came to mind is reading books. Because I can see, so I love reading voraciously. It helps me stay calm. It informs what I do. I just absolutely love it. And I know over the Easter weekend, well, I suppose over those 2 weeks of Easter, I read about 6 books because I just kept making sure that whenever I sat down in the sunshine, I just read the chapter. And I've seen that slowly started to die off a little bit now that holiday time, if you like, is kind of starting to disappear. So I think for me, it's probably doing that more. It's often in the morning when you wake up and think, oh, uncertainty, what's going to happen today? Am I going to have a good day? That's probably the time when, you know, that the world is upside down almost. So I can see that as helping me, because I know when I read, I just forget about everything if I'm perfectly honest. So yeah, I think it's probably doing more of that and going back to where I was a couple of weeks ago in it.
Fantastic. Amy?
For me, it's something that I said I was going to start doing I was going to try and do it today for the first time and I didn't do it. It's a conversation I had with my husband last night, is I want to start meditating. So I've never meditated before. Well, I did once, but I don't think that counted because I fell asleep. And it was years ago. So I just feel like there's a lot of noise right now. So I've put a limit on my Instagram. And I've deleted Facebook from my phone, and I'm muting quite a lot of accounts on Twitter and that kind of stuff temporarily, because I just feel like there's just so much. Social media can be our biggest friend right now and connecting with people, but it can also be our biggest enemy. So I'm turning off the noise, but I feel like I need to, I don't want to get all like hippie-ish, but I genuinely feel like I need to connect a little bit more with myself right now and turn the noise off full on. Turn it off, even if it's only for 15 minutes. I know, Tim, you do a lot of that. I know that you are a fan of meditating. I actually, when you two, I'm sure you two did a podcast before and you talked about it. So maybe you can give me some tips on it. But yeah, meditating. Because I honestly, everyone I know that's done it has said that it's changed their life. And I'm curious.
Travis, I'm a huge fan of Headspace because there's lots and lots of different packs, and as you'd imagine, they're releasing a lot specifically for now, and you can go back and do the ones that you started with. So yeah, I really recommend Headspace. It has 1 minute meditations, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I think up to 25 minutes. So it's a great way to explore it. I would, along with me, I guess, studying meditation, if you like, Headspace is one of the biggest influences on me in terms of maintaining my ability to do that meditation and commitment to it. So yeah,
amazing.
Can't recommend it enough, to be honest.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, look at that.
Fantastic. Amy, Tim, thank you very much indeed for agreeing to come back on the show and share so much in such a short space of time and certainly give me some things to take away and consider. Guys, been an absolute pleasure. Thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you, Jeff. Cheers, Tim.
Catch up.